Well, good morning. I've been wrestling with something and debating whether to do it or not. I've been preaching for probably close to 35 years, and most of that has been behind the pulpit, not all of it. And out of those 35 years, there's only been one time where I felt that perhaps the Lord was telling me to not preach this sermon. And of course, when you do something like that, you're running on thin ice, right? Because then I'm not going as much as by notes. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, can you give me a little grace? This one won't be as smooth, but it's important. And I don't think we should have this in. I think we got a little bit of noise here. That might be a problem. We might have to just shut those down. But something's been kind of weighing on my heart as to whether to speak on this topic or not. And I do have a few notes here that I've put together, hodgepodge, and I've asked Chris if he could do a miracle for me and bring some stuff up. But what I've decided to address is what's happening tomorrow. And what's happening tomorrow? Solar eclipse. The last time a solar eclipse took place in America was 99 years ago, almost 100 years ago. This solar eclipse is going to start from Portland and go from coast to coast, come all the way down to South Carolina. It's going to cover 14 states. It will directly involve 12 million people. Now imagine where your day kind of almost turns to night. Would that not hold your attention or what? It won't last long because this is actually traveling faster than a supersonic jet. But it's going to last up to a minute to as long as 2 minutes, especially when it gets to the southern tip of Illinois. The breadth or width of this solar eclipse is about 67 miles to 70 miles wide. And so we're going to have a lot of people captivated. In fact, people from all over the world are coming to either to observe it or to record it. And one question that has arisen is it just possible that there's some spiritual significance in this solar eclipse? That's the question I'd like to address today. And is there even any precedent biblically for us to consider that? The one thing that we have to be extremely careful about is when these things happen, sometimes Christians end up getting very hyped. They end up putting too much emphasis into some of these solar events. And as a consequence, when it comes to pass and it doesn't unfold the way that maybe some Christians predicted, we end up looking like what? Fools, right? In addition to that, when there is some kind of event that isn't tied correctly, that is tied correctly to the Bible, well, if we have this history where we've really blown it or blown it in a big way, now then when we're trying to tell them something like don't get a chip in your hand, we've lost our credibility. Because if we've been wrong in this big solar event, why should you be right in this event and this other event where you're telling me not to get a chip in my hand? And as I'm sure most of you know, a company has chipped over 40 some people over 40-some employees in Madison, Wisconsin. A part of the reason why I'm bringing this up is because when we see those things tied in with certain solar events, or shall I say celestial events, should it not grab our attention that just maybe something is starting to unfold here? Should it not grab our attention where we say to ourselves, oh Lord, I see it, and I'm so glad you're bringing it to my attention, because you're bringing it to my attention for one main reason. You want me to be ready for when you come. Amen? Right now, sad to say, we have something unfolding, and I'm letting you know so that you'll be prepared. That has to do with a very popular minister and a very good minister, as far as I'm concerned, named John Hagee. How many of you know of John Hagee? That's it? Okay, now they're coming up. John Hagee, is he or is he not a great minister? He is. He's a good pastor. He has got a wonderful work where that work has either led people to Christ or helped disciple people where they become strong in the faith. Good man. But do you know what some people are now labeling him? False prophet. Why? Good man. And I don't think that's fair, by the way, because he never declared himself to be a prophet. But why are they calling him false prophet? Well, it's because he's written a book on the four blood moons. And he got his information from a man named Mark Biltz. And I'm not saying everything in that book isn't, you know, right, but he is off on some of his science. And that's going to come back to haunt us. For example, four blood moons, where they tie in, the idea is when a blood moon shows up in the sky, that means that there's some kind of event that's about to unfold that's meant to be a warning that we need to get ready for, okay? And in the book, he mentions the Spanish Inquisition. And there was at least several blood moons. And he said that was a warning that it was coming. But you know what the book fails to understand? Those blood moons did not show up until 15 years after the Spanish Inquisition started. He ties in when Spain kicked out all of the Jews. And this year is easy to remember, 1492. Ties in a blood moon to that. That was after the fact, again, by about a year. He ties in when Israel became a nation, which was 1948. And that, when they became a nation, there was some bloodletting that was unfolded. But when they became a nation, they say that there was a blood moon, and over 3,000 Jews died because the Arab nations did not like the fact that Israel was now being birthed and they went to war. And they say there was a blood moon. But the blood moon didn't show up until 1948, and then another one, or pardon me, 1949, and then another one until 1950. You see, the purpose of the blood moons, if we have it right, and by the way, this is what the rabbis believe. The rabbis do believe that the blood moons are meant to be a warning as well as solar eclipses. They believe that the sun moons, or the lunar eclipse, which is the moon, is meant more for the Jews, and the solar meant more for the Gentile nation. Just so you know, that's a general belief among them. Then in that book, The Blood Moon, they tie in the 1967 Israeli Six-Day War, and they talk about blood moons. And once again, the closest blood moon doesn't happen till 10 months after the fact. And the idea of the blood moons is they're supposed to come beforehand to give you a warning so that you get ready. And for those of you taking notes, just so you can verify what I'm saying, all you have to do is go on NASA Eclipse's website. NASA has a list of all the eclipses from 2000 BC all the way to the future of 3000 AD. And they're able to do that because they can map things out because of the constellation of the stars. And so my point is, we got to be careful. John Hagee is a good man. But there is often fallout that can come out of big mistakes. And once the science catches up with this and it's brought out, it's not going to look good. I'm not saying that everything in his book isn't good and that doesn't have some valid points. I'm just saying when we're going to point something out, we need to be accurate. Amen? And so then, is there a precedent in the Bible for viewing the sun and the moon and the stars as signs for coming events? Yes or no? Absolutely. The Bible is very clear on this, but we need to make sure we get this straight. We need, by being accurate with tying it into an event. This was pointed out by the Lord as early as Genesis chapter 1, verse 18. And if you have your Bibles, especially if you have the NIV, I'm going to ask you to take a look at that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 18. There it tells us that the sun was put in place for what? To establish what? Light, for sure, but what else? Separate the day from the night. What else? And for, doesn't it say seasons in yours or no? Oh, I'm surprised. It should say seasons. But does it also say sacred signs? It doesn't? Oh, it does. Okay, good. Some of you are saying no, some of you are saying yes. Okay. And what's, most versions do not say that. And so what it's pointing out is that the sun was meant to be a part for people to be able to recognize certain sacred times. Okay? In that, these eclipses were meant to catch our attention, and the general view or the general understanding was when an eclipse would take place, it was meant to be a warning of God being displeased and that we need to do what we can to get things right. A couple examples would be Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Are we able to bring that one up? Matthew 27. This is when Jesus died on the cross. It says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the land. That was to let them know God was displeased. This was a sad moment in time. Exodus. It would be another place. Exodus chapter 10, verse 21. That was when Moses was in Egypt, and he brought plagues upon Egypt as a part of God's judgment for not letting God's people go. Here's something that's going to really surprise you. You can tell I was doing a lot of research on this. Jonah, he was sent to Nineveh for them to what? Let me say it again, louder. Repent, right? Here's a question that has entered into some of our minds when you know that story. Jonah did not want to go and have them repent. He did not want God to deliver them. Why? Because that nation, Nineveh, which was actually the Assyrian Empire, had Israel under their thumb. And they were wicked, they were cruel. Some of the things that they did to some of the people, I can't even mention from the pulpit. Okay? Now God's telling this man, I want you to go to their capital and you tell them to repent. Have you ever wondered, why should Nineveh repent when this Jew comes along that they're ruling over? Instead of repenting, I would think that many would begin laughing. We rule over you. Why in the world should we listen to you telling us to repent? There must have been something that unfolded, something that happened that caused them to be willing to hear his message. It so happens that during this time, Assyria, which was ruling, had a lot of civil unrest. Does this sound familiar? Our nation. During this time, there were plagues that were falling upon them. Isn't it interesting that we've had some interesting plagues that we just kind of, they come and they go. We don't maybe connect any dots. The Ebola, the Zika, and then there's another one that I can't recall. And then some archaeologists uncovered some tablets, some cuneiform tablets, and they found out that in 763, the Assyrian Empire was hit by a total solar eclipse. And just about that time, guess who shows up? Jonah. Jonah. Yes, there is a connection between darkness. Now, I want to say this, preface it this way. We can't absolutely prove Jonah was there at that exact time. But from what we know in history, it sure looks like he was. Would that or would that not cause a nation who already believes that when those kinds of things happen, that the wrath of God, of the gods are about to be poured out on you, cause that nation to repent when they see this man? I think that was a part of it. Eclipses do involve and were meant to help people bring people and nations to repentance. Something else that's very interesting is that the Hebrews don't run on the solar calendar. Well, they do now, but they used to run on a lunar calendar, where many of their feast days land during the cycles and phases of the moon. And this month, which is right now, on that calendar is called Elul, E-L-U-L, if you're taking notes. And do you know what the month of Elul is? It's the month of repentance. Now think about that with me. Here we have a solar eclipse. And it's not that we've never had one. We did about 100 years ago. But we've never had one go from coast to coast. Could it just be that God is saying to America, this is no accident. I'm sending this solar eclipse and giving you some darkness because you, America, you need to repent. If we could bring up that first map, if you would, please. This map, by the way, that he's pulled up is actually a FEMA map. Well, the next one will be a FEMA map. You see that path? What color is that? Help me out. I'm a little colorblind. Boy, you guys are real helpful. Black, red, gray. Okay, you see that dark line? See where it says where it's Portland, Oregon, Cascadia? See where it says Yellowstone? See where it says about the middle there, or what we call the middle, the New Madrid? Do you know what all those are? Earthquake zones. Earthquake zones. Is it an accident that in the month of Elul, which is repentance, that we have a solar eclipse, again, first time ever, going from coast to coast, and it happens to be going over some of our major, major earthquake zones. Am I making sense here? What I'm saying is, I think there's enough things where we've got this, we've got this, we've got this, where we can begin to connect the dots and say to ourselves, I think it's meant to be a warning. I think it is meant to get a hold of the tension of America, and the message being, you need to repent. America, you the mighty one, do not think you are beyond falling. Do not think you are beyond being crushed. What took place just last week with our Dow? It crashed how many points? Anyone know? 300 points. One of the things that God does is he crushes a nation financially. Many nations are looking to get rid of the dollar as the reserve currency, and they start bringing in other currencies, and one of them that has been recently voted in, I think it was last year or the year before, is the Chinese yuan. And eventually that is meant to weaken the dollar, and weaken the dollar. The number one thing that has caused the dollar to survive is because it's based on oil. Did you know that? Many years ago, I can't remember the exact year, but it was when Kissinger was in, with one of the administrations, and the dollar began to crash. Might have started with Nixon. When the dollar started to crash, they needed an idea to buoy it up. And the reason it crashed, it's funny, it's coming to me now even as I preach, is because we took the dollar off the what standard? The gold standard. When we took the dollar off the gold standard, that really shook everything up. And then we ended up going into a time where interest rates went through the roof. I remember because when I first got my first home loan, it was 18%. With these interest rates going up and the dollar going down, we had to come up with a way to try and buoy up the dollar so it would be worth value. Since it's not based on gold, what Kissinger did to his, it was his brainchild, was they went, told the administration, let's go to Syria. Syria is one of the number one producers of oil. Let's tell them that if you force all the world to buy oil and they can only buy it through American dollars, we will then defend you if anybody attacks you. That's how come we were right there when Iraq went in there. That is how the dollar became strong. But as of right now, there are nations no longer having to buy their, shall I say, commodities through the American dollar because more and more nations are willing to buy things with the Chinese yuan. When the Dow crashed 300 points, and I'm sure this is something most all of you don't know, it could have easily have crashed farther. But our nation has put in place what is called a plunge protection team. Okay? That's called a plunge protection team. And what that does is it prevents the stock market from going down to 400, 500, 600. And the reason why they put that in was because they were too afraid America would panic and then everyone would sell their what? And that could, and they were afraid that that could collapse the system. One of the things that God allows to go down is the value of money. If you could take us to the next map, please. This is going to really surprise you. The New Madrid zone, earthquake zone, is see where it crosses that X? When there was an earthquake in the 1800s, it caused the Mississippi River to go in reverse. That is where that earthquake zone is. This is astounding. In 7 years, we are going to have another total eclipse. 7 years is a number that represents what for God? Perfection. As in completion. I'm done now. Okay? Could it possibly be that what God is trying to tell us is you've got a little time here. You need to repent. You need to get this right. In 7 years, right where it has that X that marks the spot, is the Madrid zone. And if we're not where we should be, is it just possible that could cause a great earthquake like we've never seen? Notice, I am not saying I definitively know this is going to happen, but should we see things begin to unfold, we need to make sure that if it is the case, we are at a right place with God. Amen? I know of a minister, and I wish I could have brought him up, who died. On his way to the hospital, he said that he saw two angels. His wife happened to jump in with him. And when she jumped in, he saw two angels, and he was about to say something, and the two angels went, and one of the angels went just like this. Didn't want to speak a word. He said in his spirit he was then allowed to go to heaven, and I'm not going to give you all the details of it. It's too long of a story. But he said, this is the last generation. That's what God told him. And he said, along with that, not only is this the last generation, one of the reasons why God or Jesus Christ has not come sooner is because God's people are not ready. What does that mean? I think what it means is God's people are living, many of them are living a very immoral life. And if Jesus Christ were to return, heaven would not be their home. I'm going to show you something else that, to me, is another dot. Could you bring up the one with Virgo? Virgo is a constellation. When we first hear of constellations, we get a little uncomfortable because most of the world has taken constellations and have turned it into astrology, and they dabble with all sorts of idols and that kind of thing, right? But who made the constellation? God. And there seems that there is some kind of connection where there's a story that is told that has some message in it. Even Job, I believe it's Job 38, verse 31, speaks of Orion. That's a constellation. Did you know that? And so, if we were to take a look at Revelation chapter 12, stay here. I don't want him to pull that up. I'm going to ask you to turn to Revelation chapter 12. We start with reading verse 1. It says, a great sign appeared in the heavens, and a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And on her head was a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the heavens, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns on his heads with 7 diadems. And then I just want to stop there. It appears that there are times when that the Bible will use a scripture and it has dual purpose. Matthew 24 talks about the end times. And it seems that there's a dual purpose. Jesus is telling them what's about to unfold for them in their time, but does it not also speak about what's going to unfold in the end times? Isn't that interesting? And a thought that I pass before you is that Virgo means virgin. And it just so happens in the constellation, there's a planet that's referred to as the king planet. Any guesses what planet that might be? Jupiter, because it's so large. This Jupiter is going to pass through the womb of this constellation. And I don't understand all the science, but they said retro something where it's going to almost make what looks like kind of like a loop, and it comes out the vagina. And it will stay in that orbit for 9 months. Now, what's the chances of that? That's just science. This has not happened for 7,000 years. Years. 7,000 years. Is it just possible that this too is meant to be a sign for us to consider? I think these things are worth taking a mental note, thinking about them, praying about it, and in the midst of it, say to ourselves, what's the bottom line to all of this? Why does God tell us a time is going to come, such as in Joel? Matter of fact, are you able to pull up Joel 2:31? This is one that's in John Hagee's book. That's why I say not all of his book is off. He talks about the end times, and he quotes this. I will show smoke. Well, help me out. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and smoke and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And a point that I'd like to make, especially, no, go to 2:10 now, Joel 2:10. Before them the earth shakes, the heaven trembles, the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars what? This is a part of the reason why I bring this up. In the end times, when Jesus and the time comes near for him to appear, this isn't going to be just a solar eclipse. It looks like it's going to be cataclysmic when the stars no longer shine. What it reminded me of, remember Iceland some years back blew a volcano, and all that plume ended up drifting over where? Say it again. Over Europe. It was so thick that England or London had ended up shutting down Heathrow Airport. It drifted down to France. It covered the land so much they had to shut their airport down. I think that's what the Bible's talking about, because when you no longer see the stars shining, that's going to be more of a cataclysmic event. If you could go back to the last map. There we go, right there. That's the one I want. I think it's interesting that where this next eclipse takes place, as I said, goes right over the Madrid, if I'm saying it right. We're used to saying Madrid because that's how it's spelled. But when it comes over that spot, it almost looks like X marks the spot. And there's another river, which is the Ohio River. Is it possible there could be such a shaking that America could be finding itself split into a couple different ways? It makes me think of that one scripture that says, they divided my land, now I will divide yours. Close out with this thought. 1 Chronicles 12:32. It says, the men of the tribe of Issachar understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And the question becomes, what should we be doing? What should we be doing? We've got a solar eclipse. Darkness is meant to be a warning. We've got this solar eclipse going from coast to coast. It's never happened before. We've got this solar eclipse taking place in the month of Elul, which is the month of repentance. Could it be a message? A message that says to America, you must repent. And so my plea this morning in closing out on this thought is your life where it should be with Christ? Have you been following him? Have you been obeying him? Many Christians are guilty. Maybe I should say some Christians are guilty of adultery, fornication, not living their life for Christ, but living their life for themselves. And in these closing hours, God's got a purpose for them, and they're not where they should be because they're living for themselves. I really believe that the message is get right with God. Seek him out. Be the light and salt of the world that you're supposed to be in your workplace. One of the saddest things is when a Christian has been at a workplace and the people don't even know he's a Christian. Be a light, be a testimony, and be repentant. My guess is there's probably something in every one of our lives here where God has been speaking to you that you need to repent. And I ask that you heed his voice. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you're a God that is always tugging on our heart, always trying to help us not to miss it with you. And Father, that really is our prayer. Lord, in the name of Jesus, if all these things are leading up to something that's meant to speak to us, oh God, help us have ears to hear. In the name of Jesus, we ask, Father, that you would give us a better understanding and a better ability to be in tune with your Spirit. That truly we can say, Lord God, your Spirit is leading us. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to be a brighter light than what we've been. That you would help us, Lord God, to be a more righteous people. That we would be among those who will turn our eyes away from the things we should not be looking at, whether it be pornography or anything else. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'd help us to take time to read your word, to learn your word, to memorize it, that would all the more be able to accomplish its purpose and changing our character so that it becomes perfected in the character of Christ. Father, we cry out to you with thanksgiving that you're our God. And we pray, Lord, help us in these final days or hours, whatever it might be, to be everything that you want us to be. As much as possible, whatever is your dream, help us to be that for you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for our closing song of worship.